Welcome to Discover Indie Film. I'm your host, Jeff Howard, and I've got filmmaker Paul Lindsay with me on Zoom. Hey, Paul.
Hey there, Jeff. How are you, man?
I'm good. All right, so Paul and I just did a really cool interview, found out all about his past. We discussed his outstanding short film, and I kind of use that word because his film 1195 won Outstanding Short Film Drama at Film Invasion Los Angeles in 2021. So, and it also won Outstanding Cast in a Drama. So we discussed Paul and his history, how he came up through the industry, and the films that he's written and directed. But this episode is not going to be about that. It's going to be Paul answering the four questions, which are, normally I call them the Discover Indie Film four questions, but though that's a mouthful, which are favorite films of all time, a film that's underrated, a film that's overrated, and a lesser known film that people should seek out. But before I have Paul answer those, I'm also supposed to mention that 1195 is in the Discover Indie Film TV series. So you should watch Paul's excellent film. It's in season 5, episode 4 of Discover Indie Film, and you can watch that on Prime Video. Just go to Amazon Prime Video, any way you can get there, search for Discover Indie Film. Paul's film is in season 5, episode 4, but you could just get the whole season and watch it, or you get all 5 and watch them. In fact, I highly recommend everyone watch everything. And, you know, if there's a certain thing you don't like, you know, send me a nasty note through social media and then I'll defend the choice because every film in this TV series is great. All right, I'll be quiet. I've got Paul teed up, ready to answer. It says limit 3, but whatever, you know, there's no, as I always joke, there's no one in a black and white shirt with a whistle to like call foul. So if you need to go longer, feel free. But what are your favorite films?
I'll limit to 3, even though there are films that are just great across the board. But I would say my favorite film of all time, unless something great comes out in the next, you know, number of years, hands down. Actually, let me reverse it. Number 3 would have to be Blazing Saddles. Mel Brooks's Blazing Saddles. The most
brilliant, just a brilliant film in every way.
So irreverent, so funny, a film that could not be made today. But it's so genius for a Western to be done and breaking the fourth wall and then breaking genres. It's amazing.
Mel Brooks. Yeah, I mean, Richard Pryor famously co-wrote it and was supposed to star in it, and the studio wouldn't let that happen.
Right.
Because he wasn't a megastar yet.
Right. And so they cast Clevon Little, and that was his only one of 2 movies that he did, and then he died.
Yeah, tragic, because he was a talent.
So good. So good. But Blazing Saddles is when I hold that in the pantheon of comedy films and my third favorite film of all time. Second favorite film of all time is The Empire Strikes Back. I was always a Star Wars fan, but Empire Strikes Back had everything. It was a drama. It was an action movie. It was a love story. It was Shakespearean when you had father versus son. And it was everything. It was everything. I mean, the coolest line in movie history was uttered in that movie.
Luke, I am your father?
No. I love you. I know.
Oh, yeah.
Such a solo line. It was a great line.
The solo nonchalance.
Yes. He's about to die. I mean, picture this. You're about to die. Your boy just betrayed you. Your other boy's hanging with you. He's like, listen, I can't save you. You're telling him, listen, I'll be back. Just take care of her. I'll be good. You don't know if you're going to die. You don't know if you're going to live. All of a sudden, your girl's like, hey, I love you. You're like, I know. Like, how badass was Han Solo to say that at that time? The greatest movie line ever uttered.
He was, I'm tempted to ask how old you were when that film came out.
I was 10 or 11.
10, 11. Yeah, that's that. That film, it's the Star Wars universe hits hard when you see it as a kid, especially.
Yeah, absolutely. And then number 1 all time, Goodfellas.
Goodfellas is in a lot of ways, it's flawless filmmaking. I mean, talk about pacing and writing and cinematography and storytelling and acting.
Everything. It's like, you say the word Goodfellas, enough said.
Yeah.
This, I mean, what can you say about it that hasn't been said already? It's literally, like you said, flawless, absolutely flawless. And for the length and everything that you had to encapsulate in that movie, it's one of those movies that when it's on TV, even though you've seen it 100,000 times, you're going to watch it. I'll wait for the commercial. You know, like, I've seen it, you know, but it's great. It's a great movie.
I agree. In fact, it's funny. I don't know why I'm not intending to throw shade or anything, but it's so good that I think it makes me more critical of other films in the genre. Because mm-hmm. What do I need to watch that film for if I could just watch Goodfellas?
Yeah. And that actually is a segue to an underrated film.
All right. Underrated. Casino.
I love Casino. Casino was so underrated because it came on the tails of Goodfellas. But it was its own story unto itself. And people think, oh, it's Goodfellas part two. No, it's really, if you talk about what Goodfellas was like, the rise and fall of the mafia in New York, Casino is just basically the rise and the blueprint for the modern, for what Vegas became. And it was so amazing. Totally different scope, everything, but it was amazing. It's, you know, I would say more The Departed. You know, on the flip, I love The Departed. Absolutely love The Departed. But I was like, and people loved it, but I was like, enough. I've seen it. And then to follow up, which I loved it though, but was The Irishman. It's like, enough. And people raved about it. I'm like, I've seen it again.
I'm with you. I had the hardest time actually getting through it. I had to watch it in 35, 45 minute spurts because I was like, your exact words, I've seen this. I've seen these guys do this.
Yes. The visual, like what they did with The Irishman with some of the visual effects, I thought was great. But the story itself, I was like, I did this. All that's missing is the Lufthansa heist. You know, and you're just like, come on, I've seen this. But the thing is, I have to be careful when I say that about overrated movies, because you might say that the movie's overrated, but there is a labor of love and of passion that went to all these. And I would never want to dump on someone else's love and passion.
For sure. Do you want to skip overrated or?
No, I just basically did it with
the. Which is Departed. It? Oh, is it Departed?
Departed and the Irishman. I thought they were great, but they so much love given to them. I was like, yeah, okay.
I'm with you. And I mean, you know, I often say on this podcast, I'm like, you know, the term overrated, you're not saying it's a bad film. It could be a great film that you love.
Right.
But the awards it gets, you know, I sometimes use the example of, you know, No Country for Old Men. I'm a huge Coen Brothers fan.
Yeah.
But I don't think that one's their best film, and that one's best picture. And like amazing films that they made before that, like Millet's Crossing, weren't even nominated. I'm like, right. I'm like, that's a little overrated for me. Like it's just because it won best picture. And honestly, it beat There Will Be Blood, which I didn't think it should have. So anyway, but yeah,
right.
But I still love the film. I just, the critical receptions felt off to me.
I think we all witnessed a turning point in movie history when they had awarded La La Land the best picture and then realized they made a mistake and had Moonlight. And I think that opened the door for a new wave of filmmakers that didn't have to be the Hollywood system. That could be a simpler film, because the one that won last year was,
Nomadland?
Not Nomadland. The one before with the Korean family. Oh my God.
Oh yeah. Oh, this is embarrassing that neither of us can think of it, but holy hell.
It wouldn't have won 5 years ago.
Wouldn't have been nominated.
There you go. And I said, we watched that diaspora shift. So that's, God, what's the name of it? It was a simple name.
Yeah, when we think of it, I am using my phone now. I am trying to find out Parasite. That's why, because it's one word and it's actually sort of a metaphor, right? Because there is no parasite in the film. The fact that it's called Parasite and it's not a zombie movie is kind of funny to me.
Right, exactly. So that was, you know, that was one of those, you know, that was interesting to watch that.
Yeah. And you're embracing that smaller, more artistically driven films are getting this acclaim.
Sure. I remember Monster. I remember The Crying Game. Phenomenal, quiet movies. Yeah.
Yeah, brilliant films.
I would say the one that, and I've been talking about this for ever, is Locke with Tom Hardy.
I haven't seen it, but I've heard about it.
Man. Again, simple movie. L-O-C-K-E. Locke.
Is that your lesser known people should seek out? Or you got to, your lesser known. Yeah, Tom Hardy comes up a lot. That guy.
He's good. He's good. I mean, as an actor, he's good. I don't know about him as a human being, but he is.
Yeah, as an actor, he's amazing. And he does smaller films that just really impact people because, what can I say, as a guy doing this podcast, I hear his films come up a lot. There's also the one where he played a fighter.
Yeah.
Warrior.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, a lot of people feel that was an overlooked film.
There was a Jake Gyllenhaal film, God, that just came out where he played a dispatch officer.
Oh, Ambulance?
No.
Hold on. The Google. We got to go to Google for a second.
I know. Jake Gyllenhaal. Jill? I'm going to get it for you right now. And it was called... Oh my God. The Interpreter. No. Was it? The Guilty.
The Guilty. I hadn't heard of The Guilty.
Jeff, watch The Guilty.
Okay.
You won't leave your seat. Guarantee you, watch The Guilty.
All right. I will seek out that. So there's two to seek out. Locke with an E and The Guilty.
I am literally going to call you next week. I promise you. Out of my heart. I'm going to call you. On yourself, like, did you see? Push the lock off. See The Guilty. You'll owe me. You'll owe me for that. It's amazing.
Okay, you amazing. Got a deal.
It was I think a Danish film before, and he loved it so much he took it, Americanized it. Yeah, it's amazing.
Excellent.
Yeah.
All right. Well, good list. I like you're very very Scorsese heavy. I love that. That Scorsese got a lot of love and then, yeah, turned around. And also that it's just great. It's great. You're a fan of the masters.
One more, which is heavily underrated, but I love it. And if you really want to see like a dance, Mo Better Blues.
Oh, of course I've seen Mo Better Blues.
I mean, come on.
I can proudly say that I have to take it back now because time passes, but I've seen nearly every Spike Lee film ever in the theater when it came out. I was the right, I'm the perfect age to see She's Got to Have It when it first hit. Yeah. And it was only playing art house theaters.
Yeah.
And I happen to live in a household where we quote school days all the time.
Yeah.
And She's Got to Have It. Mo Better came right after She's Got to Have It. Right. So
yeah,
that was amazing film.
She's Got to Have It. School Days. On Mo Better, Do the Right Thing, Malcolm X. Because I had a jacket that had the listing of it and it said 5 for 5 with an X on the back. That's right. Wow. Dating myself. That's crazy.
Absolutely. Well, hey, nothing wrong with that.
There you go.
You're doing well.
Cool, brother.
All right. You want to let people know how to find you and follow your work?
Yeah. My social is GoGetPaul, GoGetPaul, at all social media.
Go get Paul at all social media. And you'll definitely want to go check him out on social media after you watch the film 1195 that's in the Discovery New Film TV series. Just go to Amazon Prime Video, any way you can get there, but hopefully on a big fat TV, because films should be appreciated on a large format. Go to Discover Indie Film on Prime Videos and enjoy. Season 5, Episode 4 has Paul's film 1195 in it. And I will mention that if you're listening to this, please like and subscribe. Give 5 stars. Give 5 stars to everything. In fact, that TV series I just mentioned, you know, it wouldn't hurt you to go to Amazon.com and go to the Prime Video tab and give the TV series 5 stars. You know?
There you go.
Why not? Why not? It's free to be kind. And if you want to learn more about this podcast and the TV series that it gave birth to, just go to discoverindiefilm.com and on social media, it's at DIFWINS. And I think at the top, I mentioned that Paul's film 1195 won a couple of awards at Film Invasion Los Angeles, which is a festival I program. If you want to learn about that festival, we hold every June, which means one is coming sooner than I will start losing sleep if I think about it, but it's coming in June. So you can learn more if you go to filminvasionla.com and it's at filminvasionla on social media. And it does have a sister festival every November. That's the Sherman Oaks Film Festival. Paul and I happen coincidentally, even though we're not in the same room for this podcast, we're on Zoom, but we're both Sherman Oaks residences. So you should support the Sherman Oaks Film Festival. We hold it every November. You can learn more at ShermanOaksFF.com and it's at ShermanOaksFF on social media. And I don't think there's anything else I'm supposed to say. So
there you go.
Thank you, Paul Lindsay.
Thank you, Jeff. All right, buddy.
Great list. And I will thank everyone for listening.
Thanks, bud. I appreciate you, Jeff. Thanks, man.
Thank you.
See you, buddy.